Hello and welcome to the Daily Soundbite. I'm podcast editor Samantha Slade, and this episode will focus on TEDx U of Dub, a 100% student-run event held last week in Kane Hall. I'll talk to wellness editor Alina Ansari about how the event was organized and the team behind it. Then we'll discuss some of the speakers who presented at this year's TEDx conference with Spencer Kelty, Yamas Lee, and Alex Xu. All to come on the Daily Soundbite. First, I'll talk to wellness editor Alina Ansari about the planning of TEDx, with some additional commentary from Alina's interviews with Kyle Nelson, Madison Wright, Emily Su, and Caitlin Zhao, some of the curators and organizers of the event.
I think a lot of people are familiar with TED, which is like that broader organization, and their tagline is ideas worth spreading. So they have that annual conference where people will present on various topics that matter to them, and typically those are 18 minutes or less. And TEDx is kind of the independent organized event. So there's like TEDx U of Dub, which is what we're talking about, but they exist across college campuses like TEDx Northwestern, or they can be specific to topics like talking about women and gender roles or something like that. But it's often specific to a community and like what is relevant to them at that time.
And who puts the event together?
So a big thing about it is that it's completely student run. They usually pick two or three curators that will kind of pick a team, and that can be ranging from 30 to 35 students across years and disciplines who will start planning this kind of in early September and October all the way until the event in May.
And what is the affiliation with TED? Is it totally independently run from TED? Or they give a basic outline, something like that?
I think usually for TEDx, there are like a couple different stipulations about it. So if you want to have a TEDx conference that's like above 100 people, you have to send some of your members to a TED conference, and they have to like attend it and like be able to learn from that experience and what it's like. So I think when you're talking about a TEDx conference, I guess most people know that it's affiliated with that larger TED group. But I think and everyone is familiar with those concepts, and it follows the same structure of the conference in that there's like talks and then breakout sessions, but I think it's still very individualized in terms of the content. But I think the structure is something that a lot of people will recognize from TED Talks that they see like on the internet.
What's a breakout session?
They don't always do this, but it'll be like the activities that they have in between the talks themselves. So I know that this year the curators were really focused on creating more of an experience and not just having talks, but having opportunities for students and attendees to engage in the content with each other and like be in conversation about it. So a breakout session could be as simple as a 15-minute break in between where there's a student who's performing spoken word, or even sessions where people can write in notebooks and like jot down a few ideas that they want to take home and apply in their own lives, but essentially an opportunity to reflect on the content in a more personal way.
And how is the theme In Motion chosen, and what does it represent? What is its significance?
Yeah, that was definitely a big part of what they're doing. So In Motion is all about, I think for the most part for them, it was like the translation of ideas into action, and really like what happens when you're existing at the interfaces of disciplines or the interfaces of new ideas, and how do you communicate those and make them relevant in your own life, put it in motion in your own life, or in a new form. So I know that like the speaker selection manager was telling me that they were really focused on creating actionable items for attendees to really apply this work in their own lives. And so some of that was facilitated by having breakout sessions where students could like discuss with each other, write them down, but really making it personal, ensuring that these ideas were going to come to fruition or be relevant to students personally once they walk away from a conference. So it's not just an isolated event, but something that's really going to evoke change on this campus and in this community afterwards.
The goal of us is to just kind of bring like different ideas through like the TED Talks and different research and things happening at UW, but also in the greater Seattle community, mm-hmm. onto campus in a format that's really presentable to students. And just something that students see a lot online, but having like a physical presence of it here is really, really exciting and cool.
Yeah, just add on to that, like, kind of the whole mission statement of TED of, like, ideas worth spreading. So, like, we want to bring those ideas to UW. And I think In Motion was just, we thought it was a really catchy, like, phrase, and we kind of wanted it to be a more progressive topic where it's, like, constantly moving forward and that sort of thing. So I think the speakers kind of align with that just in the way that they're really progressive, which is kind of the feel we were going for.
Oh, I think our theme is also connects really well to how our organization is doing. I feel like our organization is also progressing and moving forward. Our organization is in motion as well. So it's kind of a reflection of how we're doing as an organization, as well as what we would like the Seattle community to contribute to society.
Who were the speakers and how were they chosen?
There were 8 of them. I don't remember all the details about everyone, but I know that there were a couple UW professors. There was a professor from UW talking about like machine learning, and I think it's often applied in the context of Netflix and like how can you anticipate people's preferences based on their patterns, and so machine learning is a way to do that. But I've also seen like the broader applications of that. For example, you can use machine learning to identify like outcomes in a healthcare setting and stuff like that. So it's a really innovative idea, and I think what's cool about that is we're seeing that right at the UW, something that's really innovating across, you know, the United States and globally, but we have experts in it right here who can come to this conference in Kane Hall and talk to our students really directly about that. We had some other community members. I know that there was someone from like the Innocence Project and talking about like people in the incarceration system and like the social justice implications of that. And so I think it was really cool to see people really across disciplines, but also I guess like in areas that are people who are really on the cutting edge of their field and making those ideas relevant to students. And I know that that's really valuable to see because it's like the people in our own community that we're highlighting, and they're the ones who are creating all this change. And a student can see the speaker on stage one day and then walk past them in the chemical engineering building the next day. And so I think having all of that right here on this campus really will open people up to exploring disciplines that they may be really familiar with, but also opportunities for new exploration and kind of interfaces or interdisciplinary ways of thinking or subjects.
My name is Caitlin Zhao. I am this year's speaker selection manager.
Okay.
A little bit about my role. I think it's the most fun you can have in TEDx. I pretty much what I do is I have a committee of 6 other individuals. They're all individuals that come from very unique backgrounds, and so the discussions that we can have as a speaker selection committee are very rich. Our job is to recruit individuals, whether it's in the Seattle area or just whoever we can find, really. We have one speaker that's flying in from New York, actually, this year, which is new. We recruit individuals who have who are very talented in their field, but at the end of the day, the evaluation we give them is based off their idea. So what we say is it's not about the individual, it's always about their idea. And so we've turned down like CEOs, but we have turned down really incredible individuals, and the reason for that is because they might have these credentials, but if they don't have a fresh idea, a new idea that we want to see, there's no point in having them, because it's not about inviting big names, it's about like inviting like great ideas.
How long has this event been going on, and how has it grown in the past couple of years?
I think that this is the 5th one. I'm not quite sure, but I know that last year was their biggest year yet, because they shifted from having just 100 people to 700 people and selling out Kane Hall. And I actually covered it last year in the same capacity as a preview. So last year they had 700 people and they sold out in 4 days. And I know that when I was talking to a lot of them, I was kind of asking about, like, what are you going to do since you have big shoes to fill, because of this resounding success and, like, the community was so responsive, and it really created this conversation that lasted beyond just that Sunday night conference. So I think that they knew that they had a lot of expectations to meet and that students really thought highly of this event, and so that's why they were pushing themselves to innovate and create more of an experience. And I heard that this year they launched like the TEDx app, and that they were having some student speakers in between. Like Haley Milliken gave a spoken word piece in between. They also had some like cultural performances to ensure that people were engaging with content not only just through conversation, but also through different forms of expression that could resonate with one student or another.
Is there anything else about the event or the people behind it that you thought was interesting or noteworthy that you discovered while talking to them?
Yeah, I think one thing about the team is they are, as one would expect, they're very, very invested in creating this experience, but I think a lot of them are just very creative thinkers and doers. And even if you like opened up the TEDx website, like the first thing you see is like this. It's like really hard to explain, but like they drop this like colored powder in this water and it goes everywhere. And actually the way that they created that image was somebody who's in the industrial design program at UW on that team actually bought a giant fish tank and bought this colored powder and created all these visuals for it. And so I think he is really emblematic of the creative mind and thinkers that were on this team that were really pushing themselves to make students engage with this content, find it relevant for their own lives. And to work on a project like this starting all the way back in September for a conference that's only a few hours in May, I think is really indicative of how much work that they were willing to put in, you know, meeting every week, always reaching out to speakers and talking to them about how they're going to make it accessible, which is always important when you're talking about really innovative ideas that people may have never heard of.
Next, Spencer Kelty discusses the talk from Lynette Johnson, a photographer who founded the nonprofit Soul Illumination, which sends photographers to take legacy photos of children and adults with life-threatening illnesses. In its 10 years, it has accumulated more than 60 professional photographers and 120 community members who now volunteer for the nonprofit, photographing over 300 families last year alone. Who is Lynette Johnson?
Lynette Johnson is a native of Washington, the Seattle area. She kind of got into photography as a child. I remember she told a story about picking blackberries when she was probably early teen to buy her first camera. She eventually started taking photos of her children when they were born, took photos of family members and family friends, their children. She kind of went on doing this, kind of taking photos for graduations, children, family portraits, that sort of thing, until a good friend of hers asked her to take a photo of her stillborn daughter. And this kind of started her passion for taking what she calls legacy photos, basically photos of people who are in either life-threatening conditions or their family members and kind of documenting their struggles. She founded her nonprofit. And that's sort of been kind of general, helping as many families as they can. In the past few years, she was diagnosed with cancer. And since then, she's been kind of, I believe, focusing on similar stories to that. And I know she's taken a little bit of a step back from being quite as involved in the actual photography and more involved in running her nonprofit.
And in the talk, other than her past experiences, what did she talk about and how does it relate to the theme of In Motion?
Yeah, so kind of her main point was that all photography is legacy. In that we're all eventually going to die, so it's capturing life moments. And this kind of fit back to the idea of In Motion by taking the past, taking this legacy photos, these documentation of people's lives and keeping them alive by bringing them forward and continuing their legacy. I think it was really interesting that they chose to open with her talk. I think it definitely brought kind of a local and personal aspect to it. I mean, she started off in Seattle Children's Hospital taking these photos. And it's something that's definitely relevant to a lot of people in the audience, as a lot of UW students are Seattle native or in the surrounding area. And they're probably, you know, chances are a lot of people in the audience know people who either have worked with her or had family members who were being treated there and that sort of thing. So it was definitely kind of a community connection.
Was there anything else that you thought was interesting that you witnessed in your time reporting on the story, or if you went to any other talks, just TEDx in general, that you thought was interesting?
Yeah, I thought it was really interesting how they were able to bring a really, really interesting and wide selection of speakers. I mean, we had people talking about fusion reactors, and then, you know, a half hour later, people talking about, you know, helping elections in Afghanistan become more democratic. It was definitely a conference that anyone can take something away from. And I think that was really interesting that they, and really cool they're able to bring that to UW and find something that can interest any student or any community member that wanted to go.
Now, Alex Yu tells us about John Ekloff's talk on Moments. Ekloff is a poet, educator, and a community organizer who recently published an album of spoken word poetry titled The End of the Beginning. Who is John Ekloff?
John Ekloff is a graduate student at the University of Washington, and he gave a speech at the TED Talks on calling out elephants.
And what did he talk about?
He talked about calling out moments of injustice, you know, elephants in the room. And basically, he gave some anecdotal instances when he had the chances to have Kanye West moments, as he put it. And so he outlined when he was at the dinner table on Thanksgiving of last year and missed that opportunity when one of his father's friends was talking at the dinner table and dropping some racial slurs rather casually, and he did not speak up.
So he didn't have a Kanye West moment.
He did not there have a Kanye West moment, but later on in January, I believe, he did have a Kanye West moment, and he told about that.
And how does he define Kanye West moment?
Well, as a moment when, despite the potential future ramifications or the uncomfortable atmosphere that it may create, to speak up against injustices, as Kanye West did following the Hurricane Katrina stuff.
With the breach of three levees protecting New Orleans, the landscape of the city has changed dramatically, tragically, and perhaps irreversibly. There is now over 25 feet of water where there was once city streets and thriving neighborhoods.
I hate the way they portray us in the media. If you see a black family, it says they're looting. See a white family, it says they're looking for food. And you know it's been 5 days because most of the people are black. And even for me to complain about, I would be a hypocrite because I've tried to turn away from the TV because it's too hard to watch. I've even been shopping before even giving a donation. So now I'm calling my business manager right now to see what is the biggest amount I can give. And just to imagine if I was down there, and those are my people down there. So anybody out there that wants to do anything that we can help with the setup, the way America is set up to help the poor, the black people, the less well off as slow as possible. I mean, this is Red Cross is doing everything they can. We already realize a lot of the people that could help are at war right now, fighting another way, and they've given them permission to go down and shoot us.
And subtle, but in even many ways more profoundly devastating, is the lasting damage to the survivors' will to rebuild and remain in the area. The destruction of the spirit of the people of southern Louisiana and Mississippi may end up being the most tragic loss of all.
George Bush doesn't care about black people.
So what was his example of finally giving a Kanye West moment?
He was at this nice rally for Martin Luther King where he gave a improvised speech about why we need to, or why we don't need to have a Martin Luther King Day. And he called out the fact that, like, the government had been sued by the family of Martin Luther King for planning the assassination of him and such. And, you know, just telling it to, like, a crowd of several thousand people, who many of which didn't know that such a thing was historically, like, evident.
And how does this relate to TEDx's theme of In Motion?
Well, in terms of Kanye West moments, it was that there's this small window of opportunity, and if you miss it, then you've missed it, and the theme was In Motion, so what he was trying to tell us was to recognize when these moments are available and not to sit still and lie down and let it happen, but to stand up and speak, because if you, what was it he said? It's better to be seen as disrespectful than to be silent, because if you're silent, then nothing will change and you will have let that moment pass.
Last on Soundbite, I talked to Yamas Lee about the speech from Laura Zarowski, who serves as policy director for the Innocence Project Northwest, an organization dedicated to freeing innocent prisoners with DNA evidence. During her talk, Zarowski discussed how she was motivated to go to law school and get involved in the cause after becoming aware of flaws in the criminal justice system. Who is Laura Zarowski?
Laura Zarowski is the director of a clinical program at the UW. The program is called the Innocence Projects Northwest, and it's a program that has UW grad students that work to free innocent prisoners in Washington State.
And what did she talk about?
So basically, she talked about how there are just many flaws in the criminal justice system, and that because it's very contingent on human-based judgments, and such as confessions, composite sketches, and eyewitness counts, that although they're very subjective, or because they're very subjective, that they're prone to being false, which then causes some innocent people to fall into this system and to face the repercussions of that malpractice.
And how does it connect to the theme of In Motion?
So Zarowski, she was reiterating a force to action, that she was talking about her passion in freeing innocent people in prison that were caught in the mix-up of the system, and that she really wants people to find their passion, to just go for it and do whatever it takes in order to achieve it, and that and she really wanted to say that, well, if it's not you who is going to make the change, then who will it be?
Is there anything else about Zarowski's speech or TEDx in general that you thought was really interesting or inspiring?
I really liked how her work really goes against the grain of the system, because whatever is institutional, it's very backed up by the government and the state, and that's very embedded into her culture and society. And by saying that there are innocent people in prison, even though like it's widely construed that prison is for bad people, but then seeing her see hope in these people and saying that, well, you were wrongly tried, you were in here, but there's a chance of you being innocent. And just seeing her doing work and putting together this organization in order to just help these people who need help the most, I find that very worthy of just being in awe.
That's it for this week's Soundbite. Thanks for tuning in. You can follow us on Twitter at UW Daily Podcast.